This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
Welcome, my friends, to the award-winning Speedway Show, doing it my dear. Here at NPR.NZ 999 AM, we talk Speedway, Robertson Holden International Speedway. Plus, we talk to drivers and track managers, promoters from other tracks around New Zealand. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, good to be back for another Doing in the Dirt show there, Troy.
Yeah, absolutely. What a huge weekend we've had, eh?
Yeah, it definitely was. I'm still tired.
Oh, so am I. But I haven't stopped. I've kept going. But hey, partying. But yeah, no, it's been all good. And what a good result they had at the Superstock Teams Champs.
Yep, I bet they did. And I bet you the guy on the line's pretty tired, and that is Ash Rees. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, eh? It's been a slow start to the week, but we're back into it.
Yeah, definitely is. Congratulations on the win too, mate.
No, cheers, guys. Yeah, it's obviously 10 years coming and been a while for the boys. Obviously, I managed to pull one out of the bag in 2019 with the Eagles, so I was the only capped team member leading up to the weekend, which was pretty surreal, to be fair.
Yeah, I bet. I was reading up the Teams Champs book yesterday, mate. You and Wayne are the only two to win Teams Champs in two different teams.
Yeah, but different. Pretty. I don't know if that's a good result to have or a good record to have, but it's pretty cool for the boys, for the club, and, you know, all those little things that just accumulate over the years, you know, it's all worth it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like you say, 10 years, it took 10 years too long, but you got it?
Yeah, that's it. I think we've always, I was a part of it the first year, and then I was a supporter the second year when Tom Harris drove my car. So I've always been a part of it, always invested in it, time-wise. So, yeah, like you say, 10 years too long, but worth it at the end of 10 years to get it for everyone. It made it that much more special, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Even like you say, Ash, even when you race for different clubs, you were the man that was still fixing these cars, weren't you?
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, that was my job, you know, to take the week off and get the Giants ready, plus my own car, and yeah, whether it was the Eagles I was racing for or the Kings, you know, we had some hard battles over the years too. We've managed to face each other throughout that time and won some, lost some, so it's good all round, I think.
Yeah, as you say, about 10 years, Asher, you look at it and there's some people some teams that have been racing right from the start that haven't even got to where you guys are, so 10 years is still a bloody good achievement, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think, to be fair, it's not so much the 10 years, it was the year that, obviously, Pete was retiring from it and making it all happen. It obviously fell on the 10-year anniversary, and like you say, people can try for 30 years at this and never make it to the top step, which is just luck at the end of the day. It's the same with the individual titles. I've known people to race for 25-odd years and never managed to climb the top step of a podium, so that lady luck just swung our way this year.
And a good thing too, it was a good present for your father. It was his birthday on Sunday night, from what I believe.
Yeah, obviously that was a good little extra birthday present for him, and probably waking up on Sunday morning for him not sore was probably good for him too.
Yeah, his head was probably sore though, eh?
Oh, I'd say his head was sore Monday. He reckons he's too old to drink like that, and to be fair, I went to club rooms and said g'day and had two drinks, and I seen the door was clear, so I snuck out and I went home. Life starts again on Monday, you know, you got kids drop off to school and whatnot, so you got to do that side of it.
Yeah, definitely, mate. What one was special, mate? Winning it with the first time or winning it with the Giants?
I suppose both are special in their own regard, but winning it with the Giants is probably that little bit more special, being with your brother and then Josh, your other brother, and all the boys, you know. Like, we spent probably a bit more time than any other team together. We did that whole week together, really. Everyone took the week off and come down, and we prepped the cars together, and we did everything together, you know, from fitting the tyres to painting the cars, you know. And it wasn't just the drivers, it was crews and family members, and it was a week of, you know, camaraderie and just helping each other get the best out of everything that we had, you know. So I suppose winning it that way and in that fashion with like a dominant performance, and as I suppose people say on Faith Acres, it was clinical. It was, that's pretty special.
Yeah, I bet, mate, I bet. Now, how cool did the cars look when you did that reveal at McCrawford's the other night, mate? Like, that's something different too. Getting away from that red?
Yeah, when we set out on this mission this year, and it was obviously early days to make plans for colours and designs and sponsors and that, and I said to Ethan while he was organising, why don't we throw in a 10-year part, you know? We were white when we first did this, and we went back, then we went to the red, and we sort of phased the white out of the kit completely, nearly. So it was quite cool to do that unveiling and at McVeary's and keep it a secret until then. And yeah, I think it added to the whole special weekend, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. Right, going to the meeting, mate, the first race you guys took, who'd you take on the first race?
Panthers. We had Panthers up first. Wasn't a bad heat. Sort of just picked the game plan and had to change things up. You know, you can't do the same stuff or it becomes stagnant. So, yeah, the result went our way at the end of it. But, yeah, one of those teams that you can't be complacent with because they can pull out anything.
Yeah, as you know, you guys have raced them many a times before.
Yep.
You know, unreal, and that was unreal. And the thing is, as you say, you've got to change it up, because once these other team members know exactly what your move is, they'll take you out, eh? You've got to change it around in between the your team members to running and blocking and what have you.
Yeah, and we've just got to keep an open mind that the plan at the start of the race or prior to the race doesn't always go to plan. So you've got to just have the brain capacity to deal with that at the time and make the decision and go.
Yep. I bet. And then your second race, you took on the Wildcats, or the Tiger Wildcats, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I suppose they good on them for fronting a team, making it happen. You know, they threw in those two Nelson boys, and then obviously our own James Clark. They made a team out of what they had, and they didn't do themselves any disappointment. They got some more experience for themselves, the three Wellington boys that were in it, and obviously Jamesy for us, and hopefully that grows the Nelson club, gets them keen. I'm sure both those boys are chomping at the bit to do it again.
Yeah, I bet that. And like you say, James, he burnt the midnight oil to get that car on the track, eh?
Yeah, that's it. You know, he's been running that tank for the early part of the season, and yeah, then obviously the team's deal come up, and he needed to, like you say, burn some midnight oils to get that thing done, and good on him for getting it there. It's currently been dropped off to my workshop, so we can fix it after the Dash for Cash races, but that's what it's about, I think, and that's what builds team too. I think they had a lot of team guys there helping out and making it all happen for him.
Yeah, I bet. So after Saturday night, you have much damage on the cars, mate? They do much on Saturday or Sunday?
Nah, we were pretty good, really. We did a precautionary bumper change on Prentice's car, which wasn't really needed, but just did it to make it 100%, and then some tidy up work on Ethan's. Nothing too stressful though. It was actually a change for us. Normally we're working hammer and tongs to get everything done, so no, it was quite a cruisy day and done by just after lunch, so chill out time and get ready for the second day.
Yep. And then you come across the defending champions, the Canterbury Glen Eagles. That was going to be the race of the night in my eyes.
Yeah, I think we were sort of approaching that as a final. I think we've just said to ourselves that can't overthink it, you just got to do it, but it is the final race, and we'll negotiate if we make it through that, we'll negotiate the next one with what cars we've got left going and what we need to do. And they lost Jaylen early in the hot laps, obviously, for a gearbox issue, and it didn't really deter us too much on our game plan. We just knew what we had to do to do our jobs, and, yeah, it swung our way again, obviously.
Yes, as soon as we seen Jaylen pull on the infield, well, this is not good. But, hey, that's part of teams racing, and it can happen to any member, and worked in your guys' favour.
That's it.
You guys are both brilliant racers, and yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. At the end of the day, it was going to make the job probably a little bit harder with his blocking skills and experience. But, yeah, I suppose Lady Luck went our way and not their way.
Yeah, definitely didn't. All right, and then the final, mate, you come up against the Stratford boys.
Yeah, that was a good little battle. You know, obviously both teams had points to prove. That Stratford have been working their way that way to be at the pointy end of the whole field for a couple of years now, doing really well at it, and they didn't disappoint themselves or anyone else. You know, they did well, and we obviously just managed to keep on the roll that we had and come home first, second, which was pretty cool, even though I was a lap down, I think, or nearly two laps down. So it was a sort of commanding race, and yeah, just caused damage early, which was the main thing, I think, just eliminate the mobility out of the cars.
Yep, and that was their goal too, to try and take Ethan out early too.
Yeah, but with Ethan, I don't think, unless the car wasn't going, he wasn't going to keep going. So that was just his game plan, to keep it going and keep it rolling out in front of people.
And great to see the camaraderieship with the other team drivers getting on the track and saluting you guys going around when you went around with the flag and the crowd were right behind you. That must have been a real emotional moment for you, because it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, like, I think as much as we all want to smash each other and win and wreck gear and stuff, there is a level of respect in this game, because, like, it is a fun and exciting sport, but it does hurt too. So obviously when you can finish those races like that and you put everything on the line and, like, just a little clap at the end of it, if you didn't win it, it's not hard to do, you know. It's just a bit of respect and a sign of how competitive this is, but how much respect there is deep down from these guys.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yep, there definitely is. And then the presentation on the infield, mate, that was unreal. Those boys doing the haka was pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, they come up to us at the start of the second night and got us to sign their shirts and stuff, and they were saying they told us where they'd be on turn two, and they said if you win and you pull up, we'll do a haka, and then we pulled up there, they did a haka, and then we obviously did that presentation, and they managed to climb the fence and get out onto the track, and they just started doing it. It was actually unreal, and they did a great job, considering there was only two of them, and or two and a half, I think. The other guy wasn't quite committed to it, but they were into it, and they when the commentator put the old mic down there, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely was. And to see the smile on your dad's face too when he got that trophy, mate, that was unreal. That's one that you're going to remember forever too, eh?
Yeah, definitely. He was hiding in the background of that whole thing. He came down and shook our hands and went and hid in the back of all the people that were down there. And when we were getting our trophies, I said to Ethan, we better find him. He can grab this one. It's been a long time between drinks for him with that. So, yeah, as soon as we could find him in the crowd of people, we got him up there to grab it. And, yeah, it was definitely a special moment. Happy for him, happy for everyone. And, yeah, just big ups to the club, I guess.
You know, she's pretty spectacular, and what a crowd, eh? Pretty well behaved. I believe there wasn't too much drama. I think my nephew might have caused a bit of shit there, but we won't go there.
I think there was only drama at the end when everyone's climbing the fences, but
yeah,
you get that with their raw emotion and the excitement that people have, you know, like, it's just one of those things, and I guess security are just doing their job, but they've got to sort of have an element, I guess they're not into the sport, that's why they're security, but they've got to have an understanding of what it means for some people. It was like, yeah, a lot of people waited a long time for this.
Me one.
Yeah.
And then, so what going forward, Whanganui, the next one for head out for the boys?
Yep, for the Giants, the Whanganui is the next one. Obviously, that's going to be later March, I think, now.
Yep.
Obviously, that clashed with the Battle of the Stocks, so that works out a bit better for me, because we've got Stockard teams early March, and then Battle of the Stocks the week after, and then a week off, and then teams in Whanganui. So, yeah, it's a bit better for me and Ethan, but, yeah.
I think you said it's about the 28th, didn't you, Chris?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's the proposed date that they're going for anyway.
Gives you time to fix your cars and all of that, considering there was a lot of damage done.
Oh, yeah, most of Ethan's damage was cosmetic, a couple of shocks and rim and exhaust had broken off, but other than that, the car was actually pretty well fair straight. We put two new shocks on it and another wheel on it and got it in the trailer, and it was mint, and Josh has just blew a clutch line, so we were actually come off pretty unscathed, considering.
Yep, that's the one. Hey, Asher, again, congratulations on the win. Like I say, it's been a long time, but hey, lest it finally come.
Yeah, that today it's pretty cool and surreal at the moment, but I think it'll sink in over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you got to look at Whanganui. How are you going to go on that track? But hey, that's all good. It's another story.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Okay, hey, no, congratulations there, Ashen. It's been great talking to you, and great sportsmanship, and awesome to see the G up top there again.
Nah, cheers. Thanks, guys, and thanks for all your support over the years too, eh? Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Have a good one, eh?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Well, there was Asher Rees there, Troy, the new Superstock, NZ Superstock Teams champion for the Gisborne Giants.
Yeah, and what else can he win? He's just about won everything else, hasn't he?
I think it's the GP he needs.
Oh, okay. Well, no doubt the other boys will help him get that too.
Well, as you know, Troy, we had the big one on the weekend.
Yes, and action aplenty, and different podiums, which is cool. It sort of mixes it up a bit, and that's what people like to see.
Yep, they sure do. And to talk about it, we have Bruce Robertson in the studio. How are you, Bruce?
I'm great, yep. What an awesome weekend that was, wasn't it, eh? Just spectacular. In actual fact, I think usually it's the first night that where the most of the action is, and last year was exceptional because they had the six-car teams, and they were just went for it on that first night. But this year, the second night was even more awesome as far as action. Just every race there was something happening, and places changing, and results changing, and all sorts of things. So we'll have to just congratulate Gisborne and Stratford for making it through to the finals. They were certainly the two teams that shone out, didn't they?
Yep, they definitely did. And on the first night, Bruce, you had to put the sold out sign on the gate.
We did. Unfortunately, about 5 o'clock, the arena rang and said, look, we're going to have to stop selling because the numbers are over the capacity for what the stadium's permitted to operate with. So we just had to grin and bear it, unfortunately, but managed to just keep it going on the second night. It was right there on the limit, but, you know, there was still the odd seat around, so I managed to keep them to telling them to keep the gates open for a bit longer. To me, when it's full is when people come asking for money refunds because they can't see. But
no, but it's got to be good that they got to. Oh, it's a bad thing that people are missing out, but it's a good thing that it sells out.
Oh, it is great. Yeah, it's great for the city, and you know, all the restaurants just had a ball, and the bars and the shopping in the plaza. It was just a great weekend for the economy of the Manawatu, that's for sure. When you think about it, there's probably somebody who's saying that they've calculated it now. It's close to $10 million for the local economy. They did a survey about 5 or 6 years ago, and at that stage it was close to $7 million then. So we'll probably, you know, with inflation and how the price of things go up and more people and more people spending, I suppose. It's just great. And even flowed through till Monday. I heard that several of the cafes did exceptionally well on Monday.
Yeah, they're probably expecting that extra rain-out date, so a few of them still stayed around there.
Well, that's right. People need to plan for that because, you know, the Manawatu weather can be a bit iffy. And if you plan for that Monday in case you need it, because otherwise there's nothing like watching it live. And although there were thousands all around the world watching it on live stream as well.
See, we've also got date change for next year, Bruce, with it going back to a Friday, Saturday.
We have, yeah, because this year we had to move it to Saturday, Sunday, because Friday was the day for the whānau to celebrate, and we weren't able to use the square. It wasn't the square a show and a half this year again. It was just shoulder to shoulder, just thousands of people in there looking at the cars, buying merchandise, and just generally enjoying themselves on the Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and she was stinking hot too, Bruce.
Oh, it was a bit warm, but, you know, don't complain. You could have been in Australia in 45 degrees or something. But, no, we had fine weather, and that's what it's all about. And if we got fine weather, you always get good racing and lots of action, and the atmosphere ramps up a bit too.
Superstocks driving in from all corners of the square. It looked quite awesome. I was actually outside the Royal, and the Gisborne Giants went past, and everyone was, wow, you know.
Yeah, well, it's amazing the way the city's turned a bit of a blind eye to that sort of thing. At one stage, I heard a siren going, and I thought, oops. But when I looked out across, it was a fire engine coming down Broadway and heading down Rangitiki Street, so nothing to worry about. But as you say, they came from everywhere and just drove sensibly, and it was great for the public too to be able to see that. It's so much of the city is influenced by Speedway, and it's glad I guess that they do support it and do get behind what we're doing.
Yep, definitely 100%. And like you say, Bruce, the public scrutineering, you can tell that some of the people that ain't going to go to Speedway go to that scrutineering just to look at the cars too, eh?
Oh, well, it's a great opportunity to get up close to them and, you know, see your favourite driver without a helmet on his head and, you know, just generally talk to drivers, talk to the crew, and buy your T-shirts for your kids or whatever you want to do, and get your own T-shirt in case your team's a number one.
Yep.
And, yeah, and there you go. As you say, plenty of merchandise down there. Everyone's having a good time. It's sort of like a carnival, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's a great atmosphere down there. And, you know, it was right from – really doesn't start till about 12:30, and they were pouring in from – from about 11 o'clock, the place was full up. So, it was a great event.
Yep. And what was your highlight of the weekend, Bruce?
I guess it was the Gisborne team winning. I've been saying that it's their turn to win for about 4 years now, and every time it's somebody else. Well, Christchurch, three in a row like that. But what a great team that's been. And unfortunately, Jaden Ward, with those gearbox troubles, it might have been the turning point for the Glen Eagles. But I guess it's good to see another winner out there, and it's a bit like the days when everybody was up the P or down the P or whatever when they're trying to when Palmerston was having a winning streak there. So anybody but the P type of thing. So Christchurch and Malcolm Nutt, and his commitment to that team has been just incredible.
Yep, it definitely is. And then the Super Saloon, they put on an awesome show too, Bruce.
Did they ever? Man, people are talking about that too, just as much as the teams racing. The way that Jason Fager, he's one of the top American Super Saloon drivers. He's just come back just before he came to New Zealand. He had done the Hell Tour, which is an American Super Saloon, or late model they call them over there, tour, and they run 21 different tracks in 23 days, so the guys are having to go between cities or tracks, and often a 5 or 6 hour drive to get to the next track, and a lot of them are working on their vehicles as they're travelling down the freeways, so just to get them ready for the next meeting, because you know, the maintenance is horrendous, changing tyres and upgrading tyres and making sure the motor tunes right and that sort of thing. It was great to see him, and the way he could weave through the back markers without causing an orange light or a red light. It was, and all those drivers, to their credit, they were first class drivers, and when you see a field like that, it's great the way that they give each other just enough room. Yeah. There's a bit of rubbing goes on, but hey, it's pretty much clean racing, and what a show that was.
It definitely is, especially down in turn number 3, Bruce. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but 3 wide going into that corner. That's cool.
It is cool, yeah, when you see those guys. You know, people used to say, oh, Palmerston was too narrow even to run Super Saloons, but when you see them 3 wide through the corners, well, it just shows you they're quite capable of doing it, and they have the respect for each other, and which is to be to their credit.
Yeah, great saloon car racing, as you say there, Bruce, and it's, we don't see the saloon car racing we used to see, but when you do put on a good show like you did the weekend just past, and you get all those international stars, it makes a hell of a difference.
Oh, does it ever. Those internationals are a class of their own, really, but and the locals are right there. Look at the young boy George Crawford, came in second, so... That's a real feat for a young fellow like that.
And his first season in the Super Saloon,
it
too.
It is, yeah.
It's the Americans, they sort of brings our fellows up, and they step it up, believe it, when they're here, eh?
Well, they certainly do. I mean, it's everybody's dream to run against those Americans. Yeah. I mean, it's Mickey Quinn's the only one that's rich enough, I guess, to be able to make it to the States and do a tour. He's done that Hell Tour as well. So
a couple of times.
But told me it was the most tiring thing he's ever done. But, you know, him and his team have done it. So, it's a great bar raiser, I guess, for the locals. And the locals, of course, learn a lot off them too, with the setups and that sort of thing. How they get the cars going around corners like they do is pretty smooth.
Yep.
Then you had the Classics too. What was it, two races?
Yeah, a couple of races there with the old Classics. But, boy, they're certainly going quick. In actual fact, I was talking to Dave Evans, and he was saying that the times they're doing is faster than what they did in the original cars.
Wow.
So the lap times are quicker now than what they used to do when the cars were in their original race form. So it was good thing guys like Loopy Lockwood out there in the number five, and which was my original car. I think I run 99 on it at one stage, and then I had number one on it, and then built the tank after that. That was sort of the basis of the design of the tank, the wheelbase length and all that sort of thing. So neat car, and they're all absolutely immaculate condition. Brent Boddy with the ex-Dave Evans car there, I'm sure it's better than when Dave built it brand new, but they certainly know how to prepare them, and the whole lot of them are good cars. And it was awesome to see the old Harold Kells car out there with the gear levers in it and for steering, and people were just amazed. I know they had it on display there on the Sunday, and people were just milling around it and couldn't believe looking in there and seeing no steering wheel and just a couple of bulldozer levers there to steer it. So it's all part of the speedway and part of the show.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the other ones that are on display, Bruce, that class is going to be massive by the time the ones that are coming, and there's more in the pipe.
Yeah,
as well.
Oh yeah, there's the Robbie James car there, and there was Brew 22 looking very close. That's great that it is almost ready to hit the track. It's just shows what's coming out of the woodwork these days. I don't know where they find them all, but they seem to be able to find them here, there, or anywhere and rebuild them and bring them back out on the track.
Yeah, we almost have more classics than we would superstocks, wouldn't we? Be getting up there now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the thing is, a lot of the superstocks from all around the country register at Palmerston because we register them, and most tracks don't register them because they can't run them sort of half a dozen times a season. So we're privileged to be able to have so many of these classics, and I guess that's where super stocks or stock car racing really started in February 1963. We started stock car racing here, and it's just grown from that.
Yep, it definitely has. Right, a week off this week, Bruce?
No, I'm in a week off in Palmy, but I'm off to Waikaraka for Saturday night for the New Zealand TQ Midget, three-quarter midget championship. There's about 35, 36 entries at this stage. It's a rain-out meeting from 2 or 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks back, which doesn't really help. But, yeah, we're looking forward to a great show. And we've got the six-shooters here as a support class because the midgets are running at Bay Park, and the sprint cars are down there as well. So were and the quarter midgets, which you know, they all turn up in the hundreds almost, a bit like mini stocks that are so enthusiastic they'll they just mention there's racing for them and they'll be there. None of this having to plan it 2 weeks ahead or anything. They mention it and they'll be there.
Yeah. So 37, did you say 35? Have many dropped off from the original?
I think there was just on 40 the first time, so we're very close to it, and I haven't had an update of the latest numbers, but about 4 or 5 days ago there was 35, I think, and there's another one I know has come through since then, so 36, so... Some of them were a bit slow. They didn't realise they had to re-enter again. With Speedway New Zealand, there's a crazy rule that says that if you can't run a cancelled or a rain-out championship within 14 days, you've got to rerun the whole championship again. You've got to rerun the whole entry again. So originally it was a two-day meeting, but we've had to condense it down to 1 day because of the... You know, we just haven't got the – well, it was a long weekend. We were going to run it in Auckland anyway, the 2 days, and won't be able to run Friday, Saturday, because Friday you can hardly get down Nielsen Street in Onehunga because of the Auckland traffic. And not only that, the motorways are jammed. Everything's jammed in Auckland. So we're running the Saturday night, which will be a great show. Those TQs have been putting on some pretty good racing up in Auckland there in the last last couple of meetings. They're good value. And the beauty of them is that they've got starter motors. The things, none of this pushing them like some of the open wheel classes. They're away they go. And the same with the six shooters, and they can just fire up and go.
Be careful, Bruce. You'll upset the open wheelers talking like that. You know, so it's obviously going to be a good weekend up there in Waikareka Park, as it always is. And with the new track and everything going tickety-boo up there, should be good.
Should be very good, yeah. We've just had Puck and Robbie, they've been up during the week to relay the track there and make sure it's pretty near spot on before we bring in some more material to build it up. So we'll go from there.
Well, all good. Those up in Waikareka Park, best place to be this weekend is Waikareka Park.
And there's live streaming too. It's done through the pits. So if anybody wants to watch a good open wheel meeting, just tune into the pits.
Sweet. Thank you for your time, Bruce. Have a good one.
All good.
Well, that was Bruce Robertson there. Troy, he's got to be a happy man after the weekend.
Oh, he's got to be a happy man, and then he's looking forward to this coming weekend with your racing at Waikareka with the open wheelers and all of that. So from a weekend of super stock racing and all of that to open wheels, Bruce is a lucky man. At least he gets to see the best of both.
Yep, he definitely does. Right, we'll take a break. I'll be back shortly.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Well, welcome back to Doing in the Dirt every Friday at 4 o'clock. You can hear a replay Sunday, 3 o'clock, and we're also on Spotify and Apple Play. So plenty of ways to listen in there, Troy.
Yes, and I believe we have another super stock champion on the show today. And Tauranga's Kerry Remnant, how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're all good. Congratulations on 30 consecutive team champs, mate. That's wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's been a bit of a mish. It was never my intention, but obviously got to the 25 and then just sort of carried on and then decided I didn't like any numbers in between, so got keyed it up on 30.
Yeah, that's the one. So going back, Kerry, how did you get the call to race back in 1997, mate?
So, January 97, they used to do the old Teams Classic in Rotorua. And I'd sort of become matey with Jason Redinger and a lot of the Hawke's Bay guys, so Steve Jude and that. And they put a North Island invitation team together. So it was me, Jason, Steve Jude, and Mark Sutton from Wellington. Yep. It was only the four of us, didn't have a reserve. And can't remember where we ended up, but I know we beat the Stratford Gladiators, so that was a good upset. And I won the race, ended up in the referee's box getting told off with Bruce Williams, I think it was. And they were extremely upset to lose to us, but it was my first team's race, and I won the race. So sort of, and then obviously because I was mates with Steve then, they asked me to come into the Hawkeyes team for palming.
You must have some fantastic memories over the years, because you've given all the Speedway fans, some real good hard-hitting stock car action with every team you've been in, number 19M or 19A or 19B or whatever, has always been one to watch.
Yeah, it's been a crikey, I'd hate to start. I haven't really sat down and thought about memories. Everyone's going, oh, there must be a few stories, but I haven't actually sat down and thought about them. But, 30 years is a long time. There could be definitely a lot of stories.
And it doesn't only go on about that. We also think of Auckland Teams Nationals too, because you would have done a hell of a, just a few meetings up there, not so much 30, I wouldn't think, but yeah.
No, I've done 25 up there. I think it was a couple of years I didn't have it. One year I went to a wedding. One year I was injured from palming. I think if I end up doing it this year, it'll be 26.
Well, so I don't know if you know, but how many teens races have you actually done in this time, mate? Be over 100 races?
Oh, easy. I think I'm just waiting for that list to come from Palmy. I think that might be close to 80.
Yep.
Which I tipped Pete the other year. And there'd be similar numbers at Auckland, really.
Yeah,
but just a bit less.
Yep.
I think
plus everything else. So it must be getting close around that 200 mark.
Yeah, wow. So you might even be beating Dutchie, because Dutchie's done a few. I mean, he didn't do consecutive ones like you have, but yeah, he's done quite a number of teams racing too.
Yeah, we used to do, obviously when I started, we did the Teams Classic, Palmy, Auckland, and we used to go to Nelson.
Oh, yeah, yep, yep. The Teams Invitation
for several years. Yeah, so we did that for a lot of years. And then obviously with the Inter-Club Challenge there with Bay Park, Rotor and Huntley, and just that different that Bay clash with Hawke's Bay, and just lots of other stuff along the way.
Awesome. And in that 30 years, mate, you've actually had success and had the taste of holding that cup, was it three times?
Yep, three times.
Yeah.
1 second and maybe three thirds.
So you must have a pretty good trophy cabinet from Teams Champs then.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good trophy cabinet, full stop.
I do remember a number of years ago when I was living up there, we took a photo of one of your cars with all your trophies. I thought, shit, there's not much room on that car.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we never finished that article, did we?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something you can do now that you're finished.
No, I'm retired too. I'm retired.
No, Troy's just tired.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, that was your last Superstock Teams Champs here, but I just heard you say that you might do Auckland another one, mate.
Oh, I basically said to the boys, I'm available to finish this season with Teams Racing. Obviously, it was my last palmy. But if they need me for Whanganui or Auckland or whatever, I'm available.
Yep. At Whanganui meetings, I don't know if you know the ins and outs, but that's shaping up to be a good one too, mate.
Yeah, and it's only a month away, is it?
Yep,
so. But yeah, there's plenty of young guys there, so they got their hands up, so if they want to give them a blap, then all means I'll step aside.
So still plenty of years in individual racing, though, you reckon, Kerry?
Yeah, a little bit undecided, really. But I think Bay Park's up in New Zealand in about 3 or 4 years. So I might drag it out to that bit.
Yeah, well, that'll be different. Have plenty of room on there.
But, you know, we'll just see.
Yeah. Did you have much damage after the weekend, mate?
We did a fair bit on Sunday morning, and then obviously in that POM race, Frankie spun me, clutched him into the wall, And then, yeah, the gearbox decided to let go and the Frankie's car moved down on the bonnet and jammed the throttle on. So, yeah, I wasn't going anywhere, really.
No, definitely not. But that was the critical move by yourself there, mate, by putting the old clutch in and putting them up.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times before. It's just a shame to get trapped under them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, eh? You know, it's good to do it, and then you think, oh, far out. Now I can't get out of the bugger.
Yeah, but like I said, worst case scenario is we lost one and they lost one, which was, and then there was a top one. So, yeah, tit for tat.
Yeah, absolutely. All in all, there were some bloody big hits there, and the crowd was sell-out crowd both nights, I reckon.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was good. The crowd was awesome.
Yep. And like you say, even though you're going to retire from teams, you're still going to be like a mentor. You'll be still behind the team 100% though, eh?
Yep, definitely. I do a fair bit behind the scenes now. Not everybody knows what. I'm quite keen to keep it that way. But if the boys want me to hang out. But yeah, we'll just see. Yep, definitely want to stay involved in some way.
Yeah, well, that, hey, honestly, 30 years is fantastic, and I might have to talk to you about ordering one of these shirts there, Kerry. We'll just do that on the quiet too, eh?
Yeah, I'm hoping to set up an online store, so there'll be other options and colours and hats and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, look at that, people that are listening, Kerry Remnant, 30 years, there's T-shirts and all of that sort of stuff that can be purchased, so, yeah, look out for Kerry's page on Facebook, I believe you've got it on there, have you, Kerry? Or fake?
Yep. I did. Basically, I had to do the right thing and wait to be selected for the team.
Yep.
So I did a little sneaking and had the design all sorted, but I couldn't actually order anything until I knew I was in the team. So that's hence I only did 200 items and got rid of those. So we'll do some more on an online store.
Sounds good. Well, hey, thank you very much anyway, Kerry, for everything you've done for the sport. And do you want to rattle off your sponsorships? Because without them, we all know that no one can do it without sponsorship.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, obviously, look, thank you to all our team sponsors, but my individual sponsors is the ones that keep me up there.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just walking out of the car, which hasn't got my kit on it because it took up everything off it. obviously, Pollock Cranes are the big one. I've got Mix Up Concrete, Hewlett's Road Machinery, D&B Construction, Karras Corporation, Cabe Holdings. Metal Co. Recyclers, the Mount. Hang on. Just get closer to one car. They're all General Tyres, Mount Maunganui, Garland Engineering, Manawatu Post and Rails, Ashby Engineering, Warehouse Auto Parts and Rotorua. Yeah, there's a handful, but we've got four cars in the shed.
Yeah.
So we need them all.
Yeah,
so thank you very much.
That's it. More the merrier, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Over that 30 years, mate, have you had any big injuries?
Never been knocked out, luckily. But yeah, 2011, I missed a car and my leg pushed past my foot, snapped my Achilles and broke bones in my foot and stuff. Several minor injuries, but nothing too major, just the leg was probably the worst of it.
Yeah.
Oh, probably the wallet too, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, that's been the biggest injury. Yeah, so I'd hate to know how much I've spent.
Over 30 years, you must have bought the retirement home by now.
Yeah, I reckon I'd definitely own a few houses otherwise. Yeah, but you got to do something, okay? Work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
Don't be like me, I ended up bloody shouting the Royal on the booze the other night, thinking that I was the owner, so...
It's just you every night.
And that was on tab, so... Yeah. but that's what you do.
As you do.
So, as you said, you're going to put your hand up to do Whanganui and Auckland. What else is on the plans for the rest of the season, mate? Just take it easy for now?
Well, we might be skidding at Bay Park this weekend. One of the boys, well, the guy said they're going to sort my medical out for me. I said, yep, sweet as, you book it and pay for it, I'm there.
It's not, you're not going to Dr. David, are you?
No. Nah, so yeah, if the medical's not sorted, I'll have the weekend off.
Yep.
But the weather's looking bad up here anyway. So other than that, and then next weekend, we've got something at Bay Park again, and then I think the weekend after that is two night in Gisborne, and then, yeah, there's something every weekend.
Are you coming down for the Global Challenge?
Nah, probably not. Haven't heard anything about it, to be honest.
I think it's next weekend, I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about it. We're at Bay Park anyway, so they won't let us go.
Yep.
So, yeah, well, I think I've already done 18 meetings or something this season. So we've got a handful of more to still do, so it's going to be another big number.
yeah, I bet. Hey, Kerry, again, thank you so much for putting your car, your body on the line for 30 years. Hey, it's like I say, I don't think anyone's ever going to beat 30 years.
No, I don't think anyone else is stupid enough.
and your good wife, Paula, for putting up with you.
Yeah. No, she's nursed me quite a bit over the years.
Awesome. We really appreciate it. And as I say, it's been awesome talking to you once again, Kerry. And enjoy your pre-retirement, because we don't believe you're retired yet by the sound of it.
just teams.
Yeah.
Teams. Like, it's still, there's a lot of pressure with teams and that. And I'm just, 30 is enough. And then obviously, I can still get hurt, injured and whatnot with individual racing.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to just carry on and see what happens.
Yeah. Like you say, there's got to be a time to say it's done. Like, a bit like Pete.
Yeah. He's a little bit older than me, but he's slowing down a little bit. We can all see that. But yeah, good on him for calling it.
Yep. Hey, Kerry, all good. We'll catch up somewhere, eh?
Yes, sure. Cheers,
all good.
Eh?
Have a good one.
Yeah, cheers. Take care.
Okay.
Mate. See ya.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, there was Kerry Remnant there, Troy, and man, 30 years of Teams Champs.
Yeah, no, awesome, yeah. Hopefully you hear me. 30 years is a long time, and to put his car on the line, and he's always been a proud Teams racer, like, you know, put everything on the line, and that's what you like to see, and, 30 years makes us look ancient.
It definitely does. Yeah, but like I said, he did get success too, getting the three wins, so it wasn't all for nothing.
No, absolutely, and it wasn't just Teams Champs here, it was Teams Nationals up in Auckland, and I believe he might have actually got one of the ones down in the Teams titles down in Nelson when he was with Waikato Wanderers in his earlier days. I just remembered about that now
A bit late now, but yeah. What an awesome career he's had there, Troy. He's raced for quite a few different teams over the years as well.
Almost a Teams Champs slut. Sorry. Teams Champs person that gets about, I should say. But, yeah, no, awesome racing. And people like that, you sort of look up to and think, wow, you know, what makes you keep doing it? And then it's like Peter Reason finally thinking, well, that's enough. You know, the body can only take so much. And the wallet can only take so much, you know. Once it's over, it's over. But these guys are still going to keep going. They're going to continue with individual racing. And, yeah, well, they're not going to be missed because they'll still be there and they can still deal out a good hit.
Yep, they definitely can. But, like, they're not the only ones that have dropped off over the years, Troy. We've seen a lot of legends drop off over the years. That you, like I say, you can't go on forever.
Yeah, you can't. And we've seen a lot of them go into Super Saloon racing. So, yeah, or some of them some of them go away from the track and think, well, I can't go back there because you just get hooked in again.
Yeah. Or then you get the likes, like Dave Evans, that disappeared for years and then comes back and now you can't get him away from the track again.
And look at that. It's awesome, isn't it? Someone like that continues building cars and just loves it. He's not on the big competitive side of it now. He hasn't got those biffs like he used to have, but he's still as competitive as ever. I dare say you wouldn't want to piss him off. still, because everyone knows how the general used to be able to hit.
Yep, he definitely did. Right, that's our show, Troy, and we'll catch up next week, eh?
Yeah, man. See you soon.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.